This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you don't want to debate sports radio, why are you calling the show? If you just want someone to agree with you, call your mom. Or hang out with your group of friends who are all Cowboys fans. People get mad at me when I hang up on a caller after he's been on the air for 4 minutes. I let you guys rant and rave. But honestly, if you're calling up to have someone agree with you and not point out the other side, why do a sports radio show? Of course I'm going to challenge you when you call. So if you consider that to be rude, challenging someone in their argument and asking them to think a little deeper and dig a little further down, then please don't call the show.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is one heck of a weekend setting up in sports, and we're excited to be here with you on a Friday morning, mostly because it's Friday. Woohoo! If I'm being honest, I don't need a true serum to be excited about Friday, but it is also a really great weekend if you are a sports fan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have so much going on that we have multiple questions, multiple polls, and some chick who thinks it's a really good idea to have a tiger lay on top of her. Brian found a way to put the video up on our, well, he put a link up on our Facebook page. So it's not just on Twitter now. You can also check it out. It's at the top of our Facebook page. I do not understand this. If you have a good reason for it, or if it's something you would do, please, I'm all ears. I got to know why in the world this woman feels like it's a good idea or even an attractive photo / video op. How about pet the tiger and take a selfie? It looks awkward to have a tiger laying on top of you. I don't get it.
I immediately regret this decision.
Do you think she did? I don't think so. Maybe she's drugged too. So you can find it out. You can find it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, our show Twitter, also on our Facebook page. And we're asking you on this Friday morning before the NBA playoffs tip off with one game of the Washington Capitals series against the Hurricanes behind them, which of the defending champs is more vulnerable? I think nature of the beast, it's hockey. Just because of the sport, it's even when you have your best game, you may encounter a red-hot goalie, or you may only put up 3-4 goals. In the case of the Capitals, 3 goals in the first period. And then they had to hang on against the Hurricanes, who put up a major charge and actually outscored them in the third period, just not as badly as the President's Trophy winners on Wednesday night. So which of the defending champs is more vulnerable as we head hot and heavy into the first big playoff weekend of the spring? Again, on Twitter or on Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to get to some hockey here momentarily, but I've had many of you ask me, are you paying attention to what's happening in the Pacific Northwest? Are you watching the Mariners? Yeah, I don't know how you can avoid seeing what the Mariners are doing these days.
Kansas City, 4 runs on 5 hits, no runs, 1 hit. Mariners been held down by Lopez. Here's pitch swung on, driven deep to right by D. Gordon, headed for the line. It's got carry, it's gone. D. Gordon with a home run, his first of the year. Mariners on the board. 15 games now, Rick Riz, that the Mariners have hit a home run to open up the season. Just extraordinary. Sparkman into the wind, and the 3-2 pitch. Swung on and driven deep to right center field. This baby's a laser shot, and it's gone! Daniel Vogelbach has given the Mariners a 7-6, 10th inning lead here in Kansas City.
Dave Sims, the great Dave Sims, with a call on the Mariners radio network. So a couple of things happening there. Not only do the Mariners get the victory in extra innings, which means they are now 13-2. You know, the last team to start out 13-2? Oh, wait, it was a year ago. It was the Boston Red Sox. But they're only the third team to win at least 13 games in their first 15 tries going back to the late 80s. So Milwaukee did it in 1987. Boston again did it last year. You also have the unfortunate Royals losing now 10 straight games with the worst record in the majors. But back to Seattle. Brand new mark. 15 consecutive games to start the season in which they've had at least a single home run, but they're averaging much more than a single shot per game. In fact, they now have 36 home runs through 15 games. Continues this trend in Major League Baseball where it's bombs away, all or nothing. So Seattle right now is flying high. Can they maintain it? It's supposed to be a rebuilding year, for heaven's sakes. But it's a lot of fun to see these guys come together. It's a lot of fun to see this hitting that's contagious. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I play another highlight from Major League Baseball to maybe soften the blow when we talk about hockey. There were two different sports in which Boston and Toronto were meeting on Thursday. One went Boston's way, the other went Toronto's way. So we'll start at Fenway Park.
Three on, one out, ninth inning, 6-6 the pitch. Devers swings, bouncing ball, and it's in the right field, the base hit, and the Red Sox walk it off. Nunez scores the winning run as the Red Sox rally for two in the ninth to beat Toronto 7-6, their first walk-off win of the season.
And boy, the Red Sox could use that. Just their fourth win of the year. But Rafael Devers with the RBI single, and they come through in the bottom of the ninth inning. Okay, so they get the last laugh on the baseball diamond. But you know what? Even though they got the initial power play goal to take the lead against the Maple Leafs in the opener of their series, it didn't last.
Draw scrum by Tavares. He gets the puck along the boards, trying to get it to the point. Muzzin shot! Hit the goalpost! Rebound! Scores! I don't know if it's Hyman who finally taps it in, or it's Marner from the right wing side after it hit the post, but the Leafs have tied the game! And here's Mitch Marner going from left to right. Right-handed shot. Gathers some speed and collects the puck and moves to the left wing side of the blue line. Cuts to the middle. Deeks shoots and scores! He took Rask down and his jockstrap is in the corner of the rink. Puck back of the Toronto goal. Fed up on the wing for the Leafs. Now to Nylander, who's got a breakaway and a goal! Scores! Holy mackerel! It's Nylander and it's 3-1.
Joe Bowen on the Maple Leafs radio network is weird. Well, weird, maybe not the right word. It didn't seem right that the Bruins were flat-footed, didn't have as much energy to match the Maple Leafs. And I know the Maple Leafs have speed for days. I get that. They are quick to the puck. They are quick when it comes to the break. You can have a bunch of guys at center ice, and all of a sudden it turns into a 3-1 breakaway for the Maple Leafs because of the ability that they have to get up ice so quickly. And also they have a variety of ways that they can beat you. They have a lot of firepower. There was that power play goal early for Patrice Bergeron, but then Mitch Marner has a rebound to tie the game later in the period. Then he's going away on, it wasn't quite a one-on-one, but he's going down ice to try to give the Maple Leafs the lead, and he gets hooked with a stick, and so he ends up with a penalty shot. Really sweet penalty shot for him. He waited until the last possible second, kind of a stare down with Tuukka Rask. And so you end up having some incredible stick work, but also passes that I just don't even know how they got through the bulk of the Bruins roster that was out there, specifically the Nazem Kadri pass down ice for Nylander. And you heard that there is there 90 seconds to go in the second period. Just seemed like everything that the Maple Leafs wanted to do, it was precipitated by the speed they were able to get the puck through that where they wanted it to go. And so it's just one game, but absolutely it gives Marner and the Maple Leafs confidence because they've already stolen away the home ice advantage.
That does a lot. That's a great win for us. We played very well as a team, but we're going to need to keep going here throughout the series. The games are just going to get harder and harder, and as a team, we're just going to make sure we come ready to play every night.
You know they're going to come out hard, and they pressured us, and you know maybe we weren't ready for that kind of pressure, but they were just better than we were. I mean, they played their game better than we played our game. You can't do that in playoffs and expect to win.
I'm thinking Brad Marchand and the Bruins will be ready for that pressure in game number two. So it's the best of times for Boston fans, but it was the worst of times. And same applies to Toronto. They split their Thursday series across baseball and hockey 1-1. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Washington Capitals, as I mentioned, had 3 goals in the opening period, though none of the Capitals afterward would tell you that they played their best game. They really did feel like they had a lot more that they could do, though I look at it and it was a total team effort. You had to expect that the Canes were going to come back at some point. They were going to mount a challenge. But Nicholas Backstrom with a pair of goals. Alex Ovechkin also scored. John Carlson had 3 assists in that opening period. You also had some huge saves for Braden Holtby. They were 2-for-4 in the power play. They really fed off that energy from the crowd there in that first period, and it lasted. Maybe not the best performance ever, but enough in your opener as you begin defense of your title. You're the team that has the target on your back. Matthew Tkachuk with a couple of goals at the Calgary Flames, and the Avalanche were scoreless deep into the second period, but then floodgates opened for Calgary and turned into a 4-0 shutout. So now every series in the NHL has played one game, and you'll start to see the second games now coming up over the next few days. In the NBA, we are we're about 36 hours away. It's good math right here on a Friday morning. 36 hours away from the start of the postseason. And you've got the 4 series coming up on Saturday, as well as 4 on Sunday. And I know a lot of you have told me the series that you're looking forward to. There's, I think, a way that you can sell every single one of these, because to me, both the East and the West are open. The East is a completely different landscape without the Cleveland Cavaliers. And this time last year, all I wanted was not to have Golden State and Cleveland in the finals again. Not because of any personal rooting interest, but just fatigue with the same storylines. We will not have that this year. Could it be a completely different NBA Finals? Golden State has the kind of experience that you cannot replicate any other way. As a group, even throwing Boogie Cousins into the mix, that core has the kind of championship experience that you do not get any other way. And so they're a tough out for that reason, because they recognize every bit of what it takes, whether you're down but not out. They've come back in some crazy situations on the road. Nothing bothers them. Nothing rattles them. They're extremely confident. They're even arrogant. When it comes to this time of the year, are they vulnerable? So they're the top seed again where they weren't a year ago. They've got the Clippers in the opening round. Which of the defending champs is more vulnerable, whether by virtue of their regular seasons or by virtue of the sport itself, maybe the matchups that they've got potentially along the way? So that's our current poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. A lot of you weighing in on Facebook as well. And then coming up, the Masters, round 1 underway. It is a plethora of big names at the top of the leaderboard, which is fun. It makes for, I think, more eyeballs when you've got guys that people know. When you've got a Tiger Woods, a Phil Mickelson, when you've got a Rory McIlroy, who are right there in the mix. A Brooks Koepka, who if you paid any attention to golf over the last year, you know who he is. I'm excited to see the weekend, how it plays out, basketball, hockey, but also the Masters too. So we're just getting started on this Friday, although our Friday comes a little quicker than yours if you're just waking up. But we'll be happy for you when you get there as well. We're going to take your calls, 855-212-4227. Thanks for joining us After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
No balls and one strike. Pitch. Alonso rips one to center. It's deep. Acuna's back. He watches it go. It's gone. A home run. Pete Alonso to dead center field. And it went into the fountain that they have in straightaway center.
I saw that they shot water up there kind of before the game, but I mean, you see it hit the water like that. So, wow, that's cool. I kind of surprised myself, to be honest.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love it. 24-year-old rookie for the New York Mets, and boy, has he taken his debut seriously, huh? Baseball world, get to know Pete Alonso. Already has 6 home runs. He's batting .378, 17 RBI. I mean, it's probably too early to call the man a Triple Crown candidate, but I'm just saying. Wayne Randazzo on the Mets radio network. He's been a breath of fresh air for the New York Mets, even as they're, I don't know if you would call this a rebuilding year or not. I don't really know. Trying to get younger, trying to rely a little more on their farm system. Of course, they want to rely on their pitchers too, and Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard specifically, but he's been a lot of fun to watch. So right now, Alonso is worth stopping at your radio or your TV when he's at bat, but also worth the price of admission. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The weather is heating up, and so are the bats. That was so cheesy, but it just came to my brain. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Terrence, who's in Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
What to do, Amy?
Hey.
Great show as always. Just wanted to call and talk a little bit about the playoffs and ask you, what do you think about the two careers of Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki? Which one do you think is more iconic? I'd like to start with maybe the Spurs are in the playoffs again for, I don't know, a million years out of a million years, a great organization. There's a rumor going around that Pop might retire this year after the playoffs. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he retired at any point. He's been around for a really long time, and he's accomplished so much. So that wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if it's true or not. I have not heard the rumor, but again, it's an easy rumor to start just because of his age and because of how long he's been there, and also because the team has gone through so much transition in the last couple of seasons. Now, Manu and Parker and, of course, Tim Duncan, that triumvirate being gone and having to, I wouldn't say start all over because you still have LaMarcus Aldridge and a couple of the other guys left over. But, you know, the changes have been immense in the last couple of years. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did. He's still one of the best coaches in the NBA, and that's evidenced by the fact that they earned the 7 seed this year and rebounded from what was a terrible rodeo road trip. What was in February, I guess, is when that takes place. As for Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade, they're iconic for different reasons. I mean, the fact that Dirk Nowitzki is 6th all-time in the NBA scoring list and that he spent all 21 seasons with one franchise, to me, that makes it special. He is an NBA MVP. He's an NBA champion. He is a guy that has loyalty and had loyalty shown to him when that's very rare in sports. But also I appreciate the way he's handled the latter stages of his career, especially this relationship with Luka Doncic and the fact that he's okay with passing the torch. And those things make him special. Dwayne Wade is no less special, even though he left Miami and went to Chicago and then through Cleveland, kind of a sabbatical for him. I love the love affairs that the fan bases in these two individual cities have. For Dwayne Wade to be part of all 3 Miami Heat championships and to have one before you had Chris Bosh and LeBron James join him there. the defense that he played for so long, the block shots, the leaping ability, the athleticism, and also just the way that it ended for him. He almost couldn't play in Brooklyn on Wednesday night because he tried to leap up on the scorer's table and he missed. He fell and he hurt his knee, and he already has issues with his knees. He didn't know LeBron and Carmelo and CP3 were going to be there, and just a really neat way for both those players to go out. I love that they're also going to go into Springfield together because it seems so fitting if you trace the arcs of their career, the two NBA finals that they played against each other. So yeah, I don't know that I can say one is more iconic. They're different. Of course, Dirk coming from Germany and being the most accomplished foreign-born player ever. But it's perfect that they would retire at the same time and then go into the Hall of Fame at the same time. All right, Terrence, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for weighing in. 855-212-4227. I mentioned we wanted to look at the Masters a little bit. I'm not sure if you could ask for a better setup to the weekend at the Masters. It seems perfect. I'm going to drop one of my old words. This is a word my grandma would use. A smorgasbord of big names, household names atop your leaderboard. Brooks Koepka, he carries that chip around with him on his shoulder because he feels like he doesn't get enough credit as a guy who's won 3 majors in 13 months, and that's fine. But if you're paying attention to golf over the last year, you know who he is. And he goes out there with a bogey-free round, hasn't played the Masters in 2 years, and is with Jordan Spieth, who, of course, already has a green jacket, and there wasn't a lot of great juju in that final round. But also Bryson DeChambeau, who's recognizable with his, what is that called? That hat? You know, the one that he wears. What is that called?
Well, the company is Kangol, right?
No,
that's what Bruce Arians wears.
It's not a fedora. No, that's a different hat.
But that's how I know how to call them. It's like Kleenex.
No. It's not. It's a look at the picture and tell me what that hat is called. Someone on Twitter. Why are names escaping me? I couldn't remember John Tesh earlier, and now I can't.
That's
remember.
Okay.
Now I can't remember the name of this hat. It's got a name. You guys stink at this. Great. So Bryson DeChambeau as well. I mean, he's recognizable in golf circles, even if he's not a big household name. But then Phil Mickelson being a stroke back and the way he played on the back nine yesterday, the big smile, of course, and his the opportunity to, I don't know, we're early, but has the opportunity to become the oldest major winner ever at 48 years and 9 months. So that alone makes him a sentimental favorite, not to mention he's beloved anyway. I know people always point to Tiger Woods and the galleries that he brings, and that is true. And he should play the weekend, which will add an extra layer of excitement and electricity. But Phil is just as big a star, especially at the Masters. And for him to have posted his best first round in 9 years, going back to, coincidentally, the last time he won the green jacket, it's huge for him to have a star like that because he hasn't played well the last couple months.
I just played better. I just played better. I came in here not feeling like I'm at a disadvantage because I can move it out there again, and I'm hitting a lot of short irons in, so I can get a lot more aggressive.
So Phil Mickelson just a shot back, but consider who is lurking. You have to say lurking when it comes to Tiger Woods, and he's not the only one. He's 4 strokes off the pace. Dustin Johnson's right there in the mix, and it's kind of crazy, right, that Dustin Johnson's getting absolutely no attention because of the other guys who are right there. Other names that you know, like Ricky Fowler, tied with Tiger Woods. You don't have to go very far down to see all kinds of guys who could win this tournament, and so I feel as though we're poised and ready for a fantastic weekend at Augusta National. Plus, it's so pretty. The flowers are so pretty. Did you come up with the name of the hat?
I'm reading, Amy, from fashionablehats.com/golf-hat-guide.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Bryson DeChambeau, fan of the classic style of this flat cap with many names. An ivy cap is also called an ascot, a cabbie cap, a duckbill cap, or a paddy cap. But again, when you Google it, you get links to Kangol, which is the company that makes the most prominent these. And that's what they get. To me, that's what they're called, even though that's about the company, not the style of hat.
Well, that I hadn't heard of. Cabbie hat is the one that I had heard of. What's the other one? The ass kill?
An ascot, which I thought was your like a tie thing.
What, you don't like my ass kill? Because I kind of feel like that.
Is this on?
It It is, unfortunately. Okay, speaking of Tiger, really quick. Now, I've shared this with people already, so people who have been listening know to go and look at this photo, but I have to get your opinion of this because I value your opinion so much. What is the chick doing with a tiger laying on top of her? So this is a video. It's been seen by 7 million people. If you guys haven't seen it, if you're just waking up and joining us now, there is a fully grown tiger who's clearly drugged laying on top of a woman. But why is that? Why can't you just pet the tiger and take a selfie? Why are
I'm tired. I'm going to go home.
No, yeah. Why are you laying underneath tiger? Oh, a tiger. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. So what?
Different story.
Yeah, no. Why? Like, why would you ever need a tiger to lay on top of you?
I have the perfect response, but I feel like it'll get me fired. So
no,
please
not.
Just go
no,
to my update.
No one's listening. Wait. Go to really? Are you actually asking me to bail you out?
I don't want to get in trouble, but I love what's in my head right now. I want to say it out loud so badly.
Can you write it on a piece of paper and I'll decide whether or not we're allowed to use it?
Well, what did you just think? What did you just think the hat was called?
Oh, the ass kill.
Yeah.
Ew.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, you probably should. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, I don't get it at all. I'm being completely honest. I do not understand it. So if you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS.
Why do I need to be naked?
Brian, she's not naked. That would be something I would never post on Twitter.
Again, different story.
It's also on our Facebook page, but it just makes me uncomfortable. Does it make you uncomfortable to see this fully grown tiger laying on top of a woman?
I mean, it makes me uncomfortable in that I want something bad to happen to her so she learns her lesson to leave the tiger alone.
Seriously, it's a wild animal.
Right.
And I don't... But also, that's not what you do with wild animals.
No, even as trained as you think that might be, it is still a wild animal. Give it its space.
Seriously, the poor thing. All right, well, thank you for ruining my show. I'm just kidding. I was teasing.
That was heavy.
I invited you to ruin the show with your ass kill.
It just makes me uncomfortable.
It does make me uncomfortable, but not you, Andrew Bogish.
Oh, I was hoping to.
Yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oriole shift the infield, and Dylan Bundy delivers the pitch. And it's a swing and a deep drive to left. Smith back at the track. He will turn and watch it fly. And in back-to-back games, Chris Davis has a two-homer game. Four home runs in the last two games, and that was swung on, gone. And number nine for the year, and the A's take a 5-1 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ken Korak on the A's radio network, as the Chris Davis with a K had a great series at Camden Yards. Not so much still for Chris Davis with a C, or Crash Davis, as we affectionately call him here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. For the update on our adopted favorite baseball player, oh yes, it's Chris Davis of the Orioles. He did have a walk on Thursday and scored his first run of the season. Yay! That's making progress. Stop shaking your head, Dave. You're on board with this whether you like it or not. We're now part of the Chris Davis fan club.
Nope.
The man needs people in his corner. I'm just saying, the next time you're going through a really difficult stretch, do you not want people in your corner?
Of course
Let's just say, I don't know, a week of shows, you're not feeling well, you make a big mistake in your production, you better be watching out the next time you make a major mistake with some production.
He'd have to miss 57 straight cuts.
Because it's 53, and you also will need me in your corner if you happen to have an off week.
Very true.
Uh-huh.
But if I make 53 consecutive mistakes, then...
He hasn't made 53 consecutive mistakes. Do you really expect him to go 53 for 53? First of all, that's going back to last fall. Second of all, name me another baseball player who's gone 53 for his last 53.
All right, nobody. But at least hit 250. He's hitting zero.
He is. But we're going with the 2019 numbers. He is hitting the ball hard. Over 32 in 2019 because no one keeps track of... That's dumb. For instance, what I did in 2018, it's not... Well, that's a bad example. In sports, no one carries forward your record. You don't carry it into the next season. So it's over 32 this year, but he did get on the bases yesterday and he did have a run scored after walking. And here's my favorite part. Chris Davis could be a royal pain in the A double curvy roads right now. He could be grouchy. He could be cranky. He could be mad. And maybe he's all of those things at himself, but he's not taking it personally that there are people who are booing him. And also, have you noticed, I'm not sure how many of you are on Twitter or around social media when he comes to the plate. Oh my gosh, the Chris Davis versus Chris Davis jokes from the last couple of days with Oakland. And just the vitriol that's thrown at him every time he's at the plate. I get it. Twitter's a cesspool. But still, he's choosing not to focus on the negative. Instead, and this makes me want to be part of his fan club even more, he is thanking the fans who are supporting him.
It's awesome. I mean, I appreciate it so much. Really, the last few nights, just the encouraging yells and shouts throughout the game. And I know they're behind me. I know the people that boo aren't the majority. And I really appreciate the fans showing up and backing me.
All class. He appreciates you, Dave, and you too, Brian, for supporting him. We've adopted him as
the,
as the favorite After Hours baseball player for 2019 because everybody needs peeps in their corner. When life, here's how you know that, well, they say the people that care about you the most are the ones that help you move. I don't think he needs us to help him move, but he does need people to support him through the thick and the thin. Okay?
I mean, No.
How about yes? Pipe down there, peanut gallery. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That is Dave's favorite drop. I'm telling you, when Chris Davis has a 5-for-5 game with a couple of home runs and 7 RBI, you, my friend, will be playing that sound bite every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but except when he has the 5-for-5 game, he's going to be playing the local beer league.
No. And Brian's never working on the show again because when I say get on board with a particular player, you better say, how far up on the bandwagon would you like me to climb, Miss Amy?
Yeah, the boss.
Oh, hi, Marcia in Georgia. Were you having another conversation?
No, I was saying something of what you were saying to Brian.
Oh, well.
About Chris Davis because I have adopted him too, Amy.
Yay.
Yay. And I he's just such a, seems like such a good guy.
Yes.
How could you not work, you know,
classy
for him? He's an underdog. We're all for underdogs.
He's not paid like an underdog, but
well,
now he's a little bit under the weather, maybe.
Well, he'll come around, I'm sure.
Yes.
And I'm tickled that you do it. That's great. And, hey, Amy, about your half marathon Sunday, have you run one before?
This will be number 4.
Number 4. Okay, yep. So I don't need to give you any advice.
No, please. Give me some advice, Marcia. I'm all ears.
Well, years ago when I was running, this guy that's helping me train for a marathon, he said, now, Marcia, you start out slow and get slower. So, unfortunately, I didn't take his advice, and I ran out of steam about mile 17, knowing I had to go 9 more. It was all in my mind.
When did you run a marathon, Marcia?
Marathon. 200, let's see, 26 miles and what is it, 286 yards or something.
But when did you run it?
Let's see here, I was 42. 1980.
I am so impressed that you run a marathon in your 40s. You are now my hero, Marcia. Oh, my gosh.
Your heart. Well, thank you. Listen, I wanted to mention this about a new segment for your show.
Oh.
It's called Wonder Woman Wednesday.
Oh.
And my first candidates are those young women that played at Augusta. I think it was last week, those young amateur women.
Yes.
And so, and they, that's just so great. And I think it won't be long before, I hope it's in my lifetime, when they have a women's national at Augusta.
Like a women's major, you mean?
Yeah. And I just think that would be wonderful. It'd just be so great for those guys.
I do, too. They actually do have a master's on the women's tour. I think it's in the past, well, it, it may not have the same name anymore, but they do have their own Masters. It's just never been played at Augusta National. That would be awesome. I would love that. Obviously, Augusta National is a private course, and this is a, it's not something that's controlled by the PGA Tour. It's a tournament that's owned by Augusta National, but still, it would be amazing to see that. And it was really neat to see a women's amateur tournament there as well. So I like it. I like the alliteration, Wonder Woman Wednesday. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to invite you, Amy, to come and run the Peachtree Road Race with us July the 4th. It's the largest 10K in the United States, I think.
Marsha.
Yes, honey.
Peachtree as in Atlanta in July? Yeah. Running in Atlanta in July.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, girlfriend. If you can get through the humidity, you'll be on top.
Oh, well, that does not sound like fun at all. And I regret to inform you that I will have to decline because I'm working. But I'm impressed that you're going to do it. Are you going to do it?
Yeah, but see, I'm not running anymore because of my knee, but I do walk it. I've walked it two or three times now.
Amazing.
And it's just too cool with all those people. They play Rocky at this terrible hill they have to go up.
Oh.
It is amazing, Amy.
No, it sounds awful. The humidity and heat in Atlanta in July sounds hideous, but I'm really impressed that people do this.
It's amazing. 60,000 of us.
Whoa, that sounds even worse. I might get claustrophobic.
But you need to wear a gas mask because the odor is horrendous.
Oh, no. Okay, well, that's where we cut this conversation off because I want to start my Friday on a positive note, Marsha.
On a positive note.
Yes, thank you so much.
The scum-sucking Mets, they're right up there with the stinking Patriots.
Oh, okay. I love that you are no respecter of franchises. You just kind of tell it like it is.
That's it, honey. And I'm going right. to go now and okay. listen to the rest of your show.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marsha.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. Okay. I get it. I'm about to subject myself to torture and run a half marathon on Sunday. And it's going to hurt. I already know this. But to run a 10K, which admittedly is roughly half of a half marathon, in July in Atlanta sounds like hell.
Come on, man. What can I tell you?
No, that sounds terrible. Now, I also go to Cuba in July. I don't run marathons there, but we do work outside as a team, and that makes me never want to go to hell. Last year, heat records, 100 degrees plus four consecutive days with 90% humidity. It was just outrageous and ew, no. Plus, as if I needed any more incentive to turn it down, she mentioned the gas mask part, and that was the end of that.
Oh,
so no,
it's just not good, Amy.
No, it doesn't sound good at all, actually, Marsha. Marsha is Dave's favorite caller. So, Marsha, you have that going for you. And thank you for being part of the Chris Davis fan club, Marsha.
Marsha's fantastic.
Jonathan's in the Chris Davis fan club as well. The season he had in 2013 was wonderful. Just so happened I was in a bad spot in my life, and following his home runs was something to look forward to. Hopefully he clobbers the Red Sox. I'm not saying that. I'm reading that on a tweet. But that's from Jonathan. See, Crash Davis has had an impact positively in many people's lives. He and his wife do a lot of charity work. He needs people in his corner. You did not say that on the air, did you? You are a coward, is what you are. Yeah. No, you're not saying it on the air. Dave is trying to feed me all kinds of garbage, and I'm not listening. It's garbage out, garbage in, and now garbage out. Get out. Get thee behind me, Satan. So this is going to be one heck of a weekend. I'm excited. Thanks for all of your comments about the Masters, as well as we've got our poll that's still ongoing. Which of the defending champs is more vulnerable? Is it the Capitals? Is it the Golden State Warriors? Golden State will tip off defense of its back-to-back titles coming up on Saturday evening. I'll probably be in bed halfway through the game, which is crazy, but I'm running that half marathon on Sunday, so I appreciate all of your prayers and your positive thoughts. It's just going to hurt. To that end, I'm wimping out and not coming to work on Sunday. So for the first time in I don't remember how long, I'll be watching the Masters without having to take notes. I mean, that'll be kind of fun. So I won't be back with you until Hump Show next week. But I hope that you enjoy your weekend, whether you're a sports fan or not. It's always great to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's keep the conversation going and see that chick who's laying underneath the tiger. I have no idea why. And also on our Facebook page. Talk to you soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.